I'm thankful for the song service, for the prayer that was publicly offered on our behalf, and would continue to ask for your blessings and your prayers to the Lord for each and every one of us, and that the Word of God might have free course, and that we might learn something as we gather together here in the presence of Almighty God. We're told in Romans 15 and 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. The learning process that we undergo in life is one that begins at a very early age, when we're very young and small children, and it's one that continues until we close our eyes in this life. I believe that song that we just sang brings forth the thought and the challenge of walking with God every day. I mean, can you as an individual honestly say, I have walked with God each and every day that I lived? I believe that's a challenge for us in this world that we live in. Sometimes it is a difficult challenge. There are so many obstacles that we face, so many difficulties and trials and burdens, and on goes the list. And to walk hand in hand with the Lord, to walk close to the Lord, can oftentimes be a physical challenge and also a mental challenge, because we are often carried away by whatever it is that we're involved in life, whatever troubles that we may be swallowed up in. So the challenge is, I believe, to walk with God. I want to look into the first psalm for just a little bit this morning. I want to read a couple of verses, but then I want to begin to speak on some things that we need to understand before we can ever understand what this psalm is trying to teach us. It begins and it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." This talks about an individual who's blessed, an individual who's happy. Psalms 144 says, "Happy is that people whose God," capital G, "is the Lord." You know, even God's children oftentimes make something else, some other God in their life. A lot of times it's self as the God of their life, as the Lord of their life. You know, the challenge, I believe, for every one of us, for all of God's people down through time, and it stands to reason today, is to always have the Lord in front of us, to always give Jesus Christ the preeminence in our life. That goes far beyond the assembling of ourselves, as we're taught to do in Hebrews chapter 10 in the building here that we go to every Sunday morning. The challenge is to have Jesus Christ the preeminence of our life in our families, in our work, understanding that the great sacrifice that He made calls upon you and I to make great sacrifices. How many times in your life have you not done what you should have done because you wasn't willing to make the sacrifice? That goes from attending a service to visiting a friend, someone in the hospital. What is it? I mean, just think about it. I know that I have failed utterly time and time again because of the excuses that I come up with. But the Bible says when we make the Lord, the God of heaven, our Lord, daily in our life, that that's where true happiness is found. You know, our flesh doesn't believe that. Our flesh believes that happiness is found out in the world. And we make a grave effort to find that type of happiness that the world can give us. But the world's happiness, and we have happiness in the world, can oftentimes be temporal. True happiness comes with having God in the midst of your life at all times. Not just on Sunday when we are called upon to come together and to assemble ourselves. Now, this is a wise psalm, a psalm of wisdom. It's the very first psalm in the book of Psalms. It begins to teach us a great lesson, and it begins to teach us about the consequences of that lesson. This psalm points the way to being blessed. It points the way to blessing, but it also warns us of divine judgment. You know, I thought a lot about this, and I thought about our natural state in life. You know, there are many people in the world that will sit under the preaching of the gospel, and what they will hear is that God is like your grandfather. He's just sitting up there waiting to help you and to give you what you want. But God is a God of love, and God does desire to help you, but God is also a God of chastisement, a God of judgment. And just as it was when we were growing up as little kids, we love for mom and dad to give us something, to pat us on the back, to reward us when we done something that they commanded us to do, but never, at least in my childhood, did I want judgment or chastisement for that I did not do. We're no different as God's children than we were as little children or that our children are to us. You know, we love the good, but we don't want to talk about the bad. But we're sinners, and we've all come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. There's none of us that have not sinned. And honestly, if you're honest with yourself, you're always going to sin. As long as you live in this life, we're going to be sinners. And that's why we appreciate grace the way that we appreciate it. So we know that this psalm points the way to a blessing. But we also know that it warns us of divine judgment. It says in that first verse, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It's separating the person who is having Jesus or the Lord as his preeminence in life from those who allow the ungodly to affect the way they think, they walk, they talk. You know, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, evil communications corrupt good manners. When you study out that verse, and I tell you, I've lived long enough to know that it is true, it says worthless companionships destroy good moral habits. You know, you hang around someone long enough that's not doing right, that's doing something that they ought not to do, and it won't be long until you find you're doing the same thing. You're joining in. You'll become a partaker. You know, we all tend to have the idea that we're strong enough to stand with those folks and those folks not affect us. But I can tell you, we're just deceiving ourselves, and the truth's not in us when we tell ourselves that. We're weak. The spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. So we need to understand that. We need to understand that everything in this society around us, from the television sets to the programs you watch, the movies you go to the people that you entertain yourself with, they have an effect on us. They really do. They do. Our communication, evil communications means, communication can mean talk or it can mean lifestyle in the Bible. Where we live our life will have a great effect upon how we act, how we serve the Lord, how we put God first and foremost in our life. It really will. You know, in the early church, Peter, in the day of Pentecost, he warned them to save themselves from this untoward generation. That's what he testified. What he meant was to separate. They needed separated from the world. And they needed to come out from among them and be separate, to be different. And you know, that's a tall order. That's a hard thing to do, to be different. We all want to be friends with everyone. We all want to join in. We all want to be partakers. But to withhold yourself from the large masses, from the group, from the herd, from what everybody else is doing, it takes some strength. It takes the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. And so we need to remember that. This is a psalm that points the way to blessing. It teaches us how to receive God's blessing, but it also warns us when we ignore these things that are in this psalm that we stand a great risk of falling under divine judgment. So this psalm is like a wisdom to the hearer. You know, we're told in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5, it says a wise man will hear and increase in learning. You know, it said that all things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. The question is, do we learn what God says? Do we hear God speak to us? And when God does speak to us, do we apply that in our lives? That's always been the age-old question and the challenge that lies before God's children, because we live in the world, but we're not supposed to be part of the world. You know, Jesus speaks of that in the 17th chapter of the book of John. He prayed for them. He said, in the world, but they're not of the world. That's us. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Abraham made that tremendously clear when he said, this earth, this world here, this earth as we know it was not his home. You know, we need to live life understanding that we're sojourners. We are just here for a little short time, and that our home is truly in heaven, not here in Lubbock, Texas, or any other city upon this earth. We're just going along in a journey that doesn't last very long, and then we're going to go home forever. But this earth is not our home, never has been our home. Sometimes we drive our stakes deep, we grab hold of this place in which we live, and you would think that this was the place where we will eternally abide by the way we live and act. But I'm telling you, time is short. Life is not long, but where we dwell in home for sure in heaven is forever. A place that we will not have the difficulties of this life. So we do have challenges, and we know that this psalm points to the way of blessing or the way of judgment. You know, we see that in the choices that was given unto Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, it says in verse 15, the Lord said, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil." Notice down here in verse 19, it says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." He didn't say live forever. This is not talking about the choices that they make having some bearing upon their eternal circumstances. And we'll, Lord willing, we'll get to that just a little more. We need to understand the teachings of God's Word to ever understand what this psalm is, because there are many people in the world that are extremely confused about what this psalm and many other teachings in the Word of God truly mean. What kind of effect that they have upon us. So Israel was given a choice, no doubt. But you know, he tells us that in those verses that they were given a choice to choose life and death and live. Life or death. If they chose life, they would live. But he also says if they choose to walk contrary to his ways and be disobedient. You see, the covenant that God gave Israel, he said, "I will bless you in your obedience, and I will judge you in your disobedience." We all want to hear about the blessings of obedience, but we don't really want to hear too much about the judgment or the cursing, as the Bible might say, of disobedience. But we were that same way when we were growing up, didn't we? Wasn't we? We wanted to hear the good things Mom and Dad had to say to us, but we sure didn't want to hear the bad things. That's a natural tendency of all human beings. We don't want to hear that. But we're to make good judgments. Now, we get over to the New Testament in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus said the same thing. He says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." He said, this is where you need to enter. And then he says, contrary to that straight gate that he called upon you and I to enter into, he says, "Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and there will be many that go in thereat. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and there be few that find it." Well, we know that that's not speaking of eternal life, and we'll get to that in a minute. It's a choice. I believe by the words that were given to us in the Word of God and the teachings that we have, that both children, both folks in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, are children of God. The Lord said before the children of Israel, "Choose this day life that you may live and that thy seed may live." They may have an abundant life. Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." He's talking about right now. He's talking about in the natural time in which we live. Now, in the history of the Bible, oftentimes we hear of men who walked with God. You know, that's what this psalm is really about. That song that we sang at the end. At the end of each day, can you honestly say, when the sun sets, "I have walked with God"? You know, that ought to be our ultimate desire in this life, is to walk with God, to be close to God. We go over it earlier in the earlier teachings of the Bible in Genesis. And in chapter 5, it says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God." He walked with God. In verse 24 says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This man did not see death. He did not see death. He was translated, as we're told over in the book of Hebrews. But let's notice what the Hebrew letters has to say about him in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. This man was blessed to never die a natural death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I think if you want to know what it is to walk with God, you can say it's to please God. To have that testimony of your life that I done that was pleasing in the sight of the Lord. You read throughout all the Old Testament, you find one king who did that was not right in the sight of the Lord. Then you find another who says he walked in such a way that what he done was pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Enoch left that testimony in his life that he pleased the Lord. And he walked with God, and he was no more. He had no natural death. We notice over here in the next chapter, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, meaning he was complete. He wasn't perfect like the Lord Jesus Christ, and Noah walked with God. I mean, it's important to walk with God. It's a blessing. It's happy as that people whose God is the Lord. When God is the Lord of your life, the Lord says that's when you'll find true and real happiness. You know, I think most Christians and most people seek happiness anywhere in this world except for the Lord on a continuous basis. I think there's times that we're drawn to the Lord, but oftentimes we're drawn to the Lord in times of trouble, in time of tragedy, and when things are not good. How are we when things are going along pretty smoothly? Are we still calling upon the name of the Lord? Are we still walking in this life according to the way the Bible would teach us to walk? We know that Abraham was a man who walked with the Lord. You can go to the 17th chapter. Job was a man who walked with the Lord. And yet, these men suffered difficulties in life just like you and I did. You've read the story of Job many times. You've heard about the story of Abraham. When Abraham was called to leave his family and the place in which he lived, nowhere recorded in the Bible will you find where Abraham ever went back and seen his family or the land that God called upon him to leave. He walked in faith. He did not walk by sight. He walked with God, and he went where God called on him to go. And yet, he was a happy man, a blessed man. You know, Job's wife was like many of us would be, said, you know, you've had all this trouble. Curse God and die. Get out of this misery. And Job said his wife was a foolish woman. Foolish. He said, should we just receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil? I mean, that's how we are by human nature, is it not? We want all the good things that life has to bring, but we really don't want anything bad. Matter of fact, there are many in this world will tell you that God cannot be God if anything bad ever happens to you. Why is that? Because we love good and we despise bad, even though we're involved in bad, even though we make bad decisions, even though we do things that God must chasten us for, we don't like it. We want to hear about the good. We don't want to hear about the bad. God is a God of love, a God of grace, but He's also a God of judgment. He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but the Lord tells us that He loved us. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son that He receives. If you're without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, all God's children are partakers of His chastisement, then you are bastards and not sons. You don't belong to Him. You're not part of His family. That doesn't mean you have to like being chastened. As I said, from the natural stance, did you like being chastened by your mom and dad? Did you like being taken out behind the woodshed or whatever they come up with to chasten? No, we didn't like it any better then than we like being chastened of the Lord. But we're to the Lord as our children are to us oftentimes. But the Bible was written to us for that purpose. Now let's move along for a little bit more. You know, there's a concept in the Bible that's taught about two men. It begins with the first Adam and the last Adam. We have Cain and Abel. We have Ishmael and Isaac. We have Esau and Jacob. We also have David and Saul. And the history of the Bible accumulates with Jesus Christ, Christ and the Antichrist. Some commentators would say, well, there's two men, there's two ways that we've spoken of, and there's two destinies. I'll agree with that, but the context in which many preach this message is one that we need to understand before we can ever go back in, I believe, to this in Deuteronomy, in Psalms chapter 1. To understand what's being taught here, we must understand. We as Primitive Baptists believe that there is a timely judgment and an eternal judgment. We believe that there's a timely deliverance and an eternal deliverance. And these are separate one from the other. You know, the Apostle Paul said, if you keep in memory what I preached, you'll be saved. You'll be delivered. What's he talking about? You'll be delivered from heresy, from false doctrine, from teachings that are not correct. But we must understand these things. We must understand how to rightly divide the word of truth if we're to understand what's being taught here. You know, some people preach what I consider to be a doctrine of fear. You see, they teach that salvation is your choice. When it comes to eternal deliverance, it's your choice and it's in your hands. But if I go to the Word of God and I study it and I delight in it, you see, this man who was blessed, not only did he delight, have great pleasure in the gospel of Jesus Christ, he meditates upon it day in and night. In other words, the Lord's on his mind a lot. Not just when Sunday approaches and it's time to clean up, it's time to make lunch, and it's time to come to the house of the Lord. He understands that Jesus Christ is the giver of all blessings. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the air that you breathe, the water that you drink, the food that you eat is a blessing from the Lord every day. The roof that you have over your head, your life being sustained is a blessing from the Lord every day. It's not just Sunday when God blesses us. It's every day. We call upon the name of the Lord every day. We should pray to the Lord every day. Thank you, Lord, for the bountiful blessings that you've bestowed upon me. And call upon His name. Ask for forgiveness every night for not thanking Him for all the good things He's given us each and every day that we live. It's a challenge. It is to keep the Lord upon your mind throughout the day and the week. You know, it's easy. We know Sunday's coming, and Sunday is a day set apart early in the Bible. Back in the days of creation, it's a time that we're to collectively come together as the church. The body of Christ is the church. We assemble together for that public worship that God called upon us to do. Matter of fact, He commanded us to do it. We ought to take it as serious as we take any commandment. You know, we think about commandments in the Word of God, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. We take those real serious. But we ought to take any commandment that God give us as serious as any other commandment. And that's coming to the house of the Lord. To worship Almighty God, to do everything that we can, to pray, to honor Him every day that we live. God calls upon us to walk with Him in a close walk. That's what Enoch did. That's what Job did. How did Job get through all the difficulties that he bore? Because he had the Lord first and foremost in his mind. Yes, he was a sinner. But what I want you to know is these men were not exempt from troubles. You know, David was a man after God's own heart, yet he had many, many troubles. But he never lost sight of God. He never got swallowed up in the world. He never made idols out of other things and made them the preeminence of his life. It's a challenge. It's really a challenge today. Temptations are great. Maybe as much as they've ever been. For young people and even for older people alike. We're tired, we're stressed out, we're wore out, we're involved in so much sometimes that it seems like we get in the doldrums. We get hardened over. But how we walk with God and how we talk with God and how we look to the Lord is extremely important. You know, we're told in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, you know, we need to learn to separate that timely deliverance from that eternal deliverance, that timely judgment from that eternal judgment. The Bible tells us that there's a place called hell. It's the eternal separation where there'll be people go there. But if you cannot learn to rightly divide the truth, you cannot learn to reconcile the Scriptures, to bring them into harmony, You will be totally and utterly confused because the Bible seems to contradict itself, because the context in which you read something is extremely important. It really is. You know, Jesus said something in Matthew 1 and 21 that has been on my mind. We all know the verse. And there's three or four words in that verse that I think are extremely important. They help us along and help us to understand. For she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The word shall, the word save, the word his, and the word sins. That word shall in that verse tells me, and it brings forth the thought, that there's no possibility of failure. That's what that means. He shall. That word shall means it's impossible that he will not perform what goes after the word shall. He shall save. He shall deliver. Who? His people. He has a people that belong to him, that have a covenant relationship with him. You know, some people will say, well, all the world is his people. Well, I'll argue with you right now, if it's his people according to this verse, the entire damn world will be saved. But the Bible teaches us contrary to that, does it not? He shall save his. That's a personal possessive pronoun. And what does he deliver them from? Their sins. Not for just a little bit, not for just a time, forever. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I'm going to tell you, if you don't understand the four things that I mentioned about timely judgment versus eternal judgment, timely deliverance versus eternal deliverance, you will live and walk in a state of confusion. Many people under the guise of Christianity are in that very circumstance. They preach the doctrine of fear. They'll tell you that salvation is your choice, that you must choose if you're to go to heaven or you're to go to hell. You know, who would ever choose hell? But I tell you what, we will not choose God. We will not desire God unless we're born of the Spirit of God. We're told, Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, verily, verily, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't hear it, you can't desire it, you will not love it, you will want no part of it. And you can't drag somebody to it. You can't talk them into it because it's foolishness unto them. Jesus shall save his people from their sins. It's important that we separate what happens in time from that that is eternal. See, we believe, and I believe without a doubt, if you cannot see the kingdom of God, you cannot hear the king preach, the king speak, you have no ears to hear, because you have no spiritual life, then the Bible is of no relevance to you. It will have no benefit on you. I don't care if you read it, you hear someone preach from it. It will have no effect upon you, because you will not react to something that is meaningless to you. You know, Paul said you must spiritually discern these things in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Unless you understand that the Bible is written to those who are already born of the Spirit of God, you'll live and walk in a state of confusion, because you will spend an enormous amount of your time trying to determine what you need to do to help save yourself and save someone else. And that's what the majority of folks do in this world, except, and the exception be, is us and what we believe. We believe that Jesus Christ was a successful Savior, that he truly saved people. It doesn't say in that verse that he shall come forth and shall possibly save his people from their sins, try to save his people from their sins, that he will give them opportunity to be saved. We're told in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, according as he hath chosen them in him before the foundation of the world. God the Father, you read the first three verses, has chosen us in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Think about the end of what that just said. Because of the everlasting love that Jesus and that God the Father had for his people, that we who were chosen in him are looked upon as holy and blameless. If you're blameless, how can anyone be left out of heaven? You're blameless because you were chosen in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus came and delivered you from the sins, from the iniquities and the transgressions that we had against Almighty God. We need to understand that before we enter into Psalms 1 and try to understand what it's teaching us. Because if we don't understand temporal salvation, time salvation, if we don't understand temporal judgment, which means God's chastisement, then we can be led in the wrong direction. Two men, two ways, and two destinies. You make the choice. We got them out there. They preach what I call the doctrine of fear. There's many of them today. You know, that wasn't nothing new. That happened when Jesus Christ came on the scene. Paul had went and preached to the churches at Galatia. They had received the gospel of grace in a mighty way. They rejoiced in it. And brethren came in among them shortly and said, yes, we believe in grace, but you must continue to be circumcised and follow the law of Moses. They couldn't depart with those things of old. They placed salvation in the hands of man. You know, we're told in the third chapter of Romans, being justified freely by His grace. Without cause is what freely means. Being justified without cause by the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He redeemed His people. He didn't make redemption a possibility. He actually redeemed them by the shedding of His blood, by the going to the cross of Calvary and suffering in our room and in our stead. And now we have a great hope that anchors our soul, do we not? A great blessing. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is that man. It says, nor that standeth in the way of sinners. In other words, first of all, do you ever take the advice of the ungodly? I think sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't understand where that advice is coming from, or we ignore where it's coming from, and we take advice or counsel from the ungodly. Sometimes we walk in the way of sinners. You see, Jesus said there's two ways. One way leads to destruction, and one way leads to a life of happiness. And He says there are few that find that life of happiness. You see, most people couldn't remove the yoke of bondage in the New Testament when Jesus Christ came. You know, they don't understand grace. They don't understand that under the Old Testament service, that those that were giving up the sacrifices day in and day out could never make themselves perfect. Do you realize that when you go to heaven, you cannot enter into heaven unless you're perfect? And if you have a part in making yourself perfect, we'll not go to heaven. Because we can't do that. We can never make ourselves perfect. It tells us that those old sacrifices in the first verse of Hebrews 10 can never make the comers thereunto perfect. But they were done as a way of remembrance. But we also are told, but this man who offered one sacrifice for sins forever sat down at the right hand of God. Why did he sit down? Because he came to save his people from their sins, and I declare unto you that he accomplished everything that he came to do. He shall save them. He did save them. And he delivered them from their sins, and their sins were put away as far as the east is from the west. When we understand that, we begin to understand that the Bible was written to the children of God, those who are born of the Spirit of God, those who have an ability to study and to read and to learn. Because they love the Lord, they desire the Lord. But the learning process goes on and on and on in our life. Notice what it says in verse 4 of Psalms 1. The ungodly are not so. The ungodly care nothing for the Word of God. And what we're being warned of here in this psalm is that the ungodly in this world can have a great effect upon us. They can. They can have a great effect upon us. Notice what it says in Proverbs Chapter 4, I believe it is. 14 and 15. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. I mean, there's a lot of emphasis put on where you walk in this life. Enoch walked with God. Job walked with God. You know, we cannot walk upon hot coals and not be burned. We're to meditate upon the Word of God. What does it say? Day and night. We're to seek the counsel of God. You know, a wise man will hear and increase in learning. And it says a man of understanding shall seek or attain unto wise counsel. That's important. If you ever find a wise man, you'll notice that that wise man is attaining unto wise counsel. And the greatest and the wisest counsel that you and I have is the Word of God. When God speaks to us through His Word, it's truly wisdom. It's truly the truth. You know, I think a lot of times in my lifetime, I've been like most folks in Matthew chapter 6, I believe it was, when Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve the Lord, God and mammon. But you know, I thought I could have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. I'm still not sure that I don't live and walk that way. God said it can't be done. You know, God's word is truth. It's not some truth, it's all truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, the biggest thing that you and I have in this life or need to do is always have the Lord first. When we go to work, when we're talking to our friends, do we talk in such a way? When we talk to our wives and our husbands, do we speak to them in the way that the Lord would have us to speak to them? Do we speak to our children? Do we speak to our neighbors and our friends, our brothers and our sisters? You know, the Bible teaches us. This is things that we're to learn that were written aforetime for our learning. We're to learn those things because it'll make a difference in our lives. You know, Jesus said those that go and walk in the straight and narrow, those that truly find a life of happiness, He says there's few that find it. There's few that find it. He says the great majority of my children go through that wide gate and that broad way, and it eventually leads to destruction. It leads to a life of unhappiness and misery, an incomplete life. And Jesus Himself said that's where the vast majority of God's children walk while they live upon this earth. You begin with this great psalm here, and it says, blessed is the man. Oh, blessedness this man has. It's plural. I mean, it's all of God's children. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel or the advice of the ungodly. And I tell you, all you got to do is look around in this world and there's ungodly things going on in every direction. You have no problem finding a path of ungodliness if that's what you choose to walk in. It says, we do not stand. And it says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. You know, we stand in the way of sinners. We seek their advice and it won't be long till we're sitting with those sinners. Notice what it says there. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Those who mock and deride God Almighty. I mean, you know, we're not so strong if we do not attain to the Word of God. We do not meditate upon the Word of God. You and I do not have the strength to restrain ourselves from the temptations that go on in this world. We know that many things happen. Think about Job for just a minute. When God removed the hedge, can you imagine if God was to remove the hedge around us? We're surrounded by wickedness. We're surrounded by darkness and all types of difficulties in this life. Can you imagine? He goes on and says, but His delight, His desire in this life, His pleasure is the law of the Lord, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? Having that kind of pleasure. That the Lord is first. He is your pleasure in this life. And He doth meditate day and night. Notice what Joshua said. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. I think everybody wants to have a prosperous way and a successful life. I think we all desire happiness. We all seek happiness. But I can tell you, it's not going to be found in the world. And if you find it apart from God, it's not going to last. You know, the Bible tells us that there was even pleasure in sin for a season. But true joy and true peace and true happiness comes by putting Jesus Christ as first and foremost in your life. Blessed is that man who does not walk, who separates himself, as the early church was told by Peter. They separated themselves from the world and they joined together as brothers and sisters. They spent a great deal of time because it strengthened them. we're told to come out from among them and be separate. It doesn't say that you go live in a cave and be a hermit. It says you're of this world. You live in this world, but you're not of this world. You've got to be discreet in how much you hang out with folks. You know, Brother George used to say, if you sit in the camp, you're going to smell like the camp. Well, there's a lot of truth to that. You know, we all believe we have the strength to hang out anywhere and not let that affect us. But we know from our own experiences and from the teachings of God's Word that what we do and where we go and who we associate with makes a great difference in our lives. We know that young people oftentimes fall into difficult situations because of utter foolishness to one extent, but because they're hanging out with the wrong people. They're going to the wrong places, and it doesn't always end up good. Unfortunately, many of us can fall into the same place that are older. You know, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but sometimes we're children for a long, long time. God is a God of wisdom. He says that if we're wise, and if we understand what He's teaching in this psalm, and we've only got to the first two verses, He says we shall attain unto wise counsel. He says shall. That means it will be done. If you're seeking wisdom and you're learning God's Word, you will seek first His wisdom. You will seek His counsel. He is the great counselor, the great God of heaven. It's in Him that we live and we move and we have our being. It's in Him that we have hope that anchors our soul. May God bless us not to walk with the ungodly, not to stand in the way of sinners. In other words, not to walk in the paths that they walk down. We're all sinners and we've all come short of the glory of God. But I tell you, we need to be aware of our sins. We need to strive not to sin. Because if we do that without thinking of it, we'll soon be sitting with sinners. You know, there's a short story. Jesus told Peter when he was arrested, He said, "You need to flee to Galilee, and I will see you after I've risen." That's what He basically told him. But Peter said, "I'll go even unto death with you." He stood with the ungodly, and he finally sat with the ungodly. And what did he do? He denied Christ three times, just as Christ told him. I'm going to tell you, folks, the people we go around will have an effect upon us. Can you imagine the Apostle Peter, having walked with the Lord, having talked with the Lord, having seen all the miracles, that he denied the Lord when they come out and said, "You're one of them, you're with Him." He wouldn't have none of it, would he? That's what happened to us when we walk with the ungodly, stand with the ungodly. We'll finally sit with them. And the consequences won't be good. "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son that He receiveth." You know, I don't like chastisement better than anybody else, but it's a truth that's given to us in the Word of God. There is a way of blessing, and there is a way of divine judgment. He who wants God's blessings will meditate upon His Word. He'll delight in His Word. He'll learn from it. That's the greatest thing, is to learn. Learn what God said about the circumstances that we will face, the challenges that we'll undertake in life, and what surrounds us. I've stated many times that we're like the stars in heaven. God has put His Spirit in us, and if we're shining our light, every star you see in the heaven at night is surrounded by darkness. That's how we are. It's on every side. We can't get away from it. It's out there. We live in this world, but we're not of this world. We're to let our light shine. We're to seek Jesus Christ every day. We're to delight in His Word. We're to meditate upon it. And God has promised to bless us in doing so. May God bless us to continue studying His Word and learning from it, meditating upon it, and applying it to our lives. And may we ultimately receive His rich blessings in life. May God bless you, is my prayer.